Well, I've got an opening story I want to tell you about Vince Lombardi. You know Vince Lombardi. Where's Arvid Russell? Where's Arvid? This guy, Green Bay Packer, when you cut him, he bleeds green. And you know this story. Some of you have heard this. It's a famous story about the training. When they went back to training after the Green Bay Packers in the summer of 61 headed back to training camp after having lost just 6 months earlier to the Philadelphia Eagles in the championship game. They were leading up until the fourth quarter, and they just squandered their lead in the last minutes of the fourth quarter, and they wound up losing that game. And they had to live with that for 6 months, and they were just chewing at the bit. Can't wait to get back to training camp just to take their game to the next level, just a little bit here and there improvement, and they'll be champions this year. So Vince Lombardi welcomes those 36 players to training camp, and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And they were ready for some great little nuanced training or this or that to take them to the next level, but he took them all the way back to the very beginning, the basics of the game. "This, gentlemen, is a football." And they were like really disappointed. They're like making jokes like, "Yeah, we know it's a football." And they started to go through the playbook, play by play. They went through the fundamentals. They said, "You know what?" He goes, "This is what we're going to do this year. We're going to focus on the fundamentals. We're going to focus on tackling and blocking." And they started from page one of that playbook, and they worked their way through. And guess what? At the end of that season, they went to the championship game again. And this time, they won the New York Giants. They beat the New York Giants 37-0. And Vince Lombardi is a legend because he started every season with, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Just focusing on the fundamentals. So today, this is a kind of different service. I want us to kind of review what the fundamentals are for the Church of Jesus. Right? I mean, if you were to ask people, what business is the church in? I mean, why did God leave the church? When Jesus ascended and went back to heaven, he left us on earth. He didn't take us with him. He gave us a job to do. What is the job of the church? Why do we exist? Well, everyone knows, most of you probably know Matthew 28, right? Before he goes back into heaven, he says, "Guys, come here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So listen up." I mean, if someone comes to you and says, "I got all authority," you're going to go, "Okay." And he says, "Go into all the world and make disciples, make followers of mine. Right? Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to me. Baptize them. Then teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'm going to be with you always." That's the purpose of the church. And that purpose is repeated time and time again throughout the pages of the New Testament, right? In Colossians 1:28, "He, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Jesus Christ." Paul says, here's the mission of the church, the goal of the church, to present everyone mature in Jesus Christ. That means you got to reach them, you got to grow them, you got to develop them, you got to help them develop more and reproduce so that that cycle just continues and continues and continues, right? And then Jesus tells us three rapid-fire stories in succession in Luke 15 about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost person, a lost son. They all have the same theme. Something of value is lost, and at the end of the story, that thing of value is what? Found, and at the end of every story that he tells, he says this, like in verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way," here's the point of those stories, "in the same way as all these people are celebrating, the lost sheep returning, the lost coin being found, and the lost son coming home, in that same way, I got to tell you," Jesus says, "that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And then verse 10, "in the same way I tell you," after the second story, he says, "there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And I'm telling you, I've read the Bible many times over now, and I've never read any other thing that the Bible says the angels and the citizens of heaven get excited about other than God and who he is and his work and when people come into the family of God. you know, when the first computer was born, they didn't throw a big hoopla up in heaven. Or the Model T first hit the street. No big celebration, right? We send a man on the moon. Woo! Angels are going, boring. But one person comes into fellowship with God. And they throw a party like we've never imagined. And Jesus tells us, again, this is the theme of the Bible, right? The theme of the church in Luke 19. The Son of Man, he's saying, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's his job. And that's the job he's given us. And the Bible says in Luke 6, Jesus speaking again, everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. He's saying, hey, this is what I've done. I've come to seek and to save the lost. And now, if you're going to follow me and be fully trained by me, you're going to become like me in my passion and my purpose and the reason I came to earth in the first place. And then in Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. So here's the question. Peter Drucker, strong Christian, an expert in business. Some of you have read Peter Drucker over the years. He's passed away now. But he said every company, every organization needs to continually be asking itself only two basic questions. First is, what business are we in? And number two, how's business? Isn't that clear? What business are we in and how are we doing in our business? And the church should ask the same question of itself. And we just answered, the business we're in is make disciples. Who will make disciples? Who will make disciples? That's the business. How's business? How are we doing at fishing for men, fishing for people, gathering people into the kingdom of God? Our mission has always been to make more and better disciples. Not because that's what Teresa wants, or Ted wants, or Scott wants, or Roger wants, or Emmy wants, although I hope we all do. It doesn't really matter what we want. It's what Jesus wants and what he left us to do, right? Make disciples. Too many of us, and I'm included, I mean, too many of us can get into a fog at times where we lose sight of the purpose of the church. And we come to church and we do church, and that's all good, but what business are we in? And how's business? This is a football. Make disciples. How are we doing at making disciples? And I'm telling you, so many churches, and us included, have got to a point at times where we're just kind of going about redistributing the fish in the different aquariums. Same fish, this one gets a little nasty, and we put him over in this aquarium where they can feel alive. I could go all day about exchanging fish from aquarium to aquarium, from church to church, right? And if, hey, you're new to our church and you go, hey, I'm a Christian, hey, we welcome you. We want you here. But we got to always remember the purpose of the church. Gentlemen, this is a football, is to make disciples who make disciples. I've been looking forward to sharing with you this thought and where I've been coming from over the last few months. So much. I've been looking forward to this. Been praying a lot. For some time, thinking and praying and studying and reading and going to conferences and going to visit churches that are doing a good job of making disciples who make disciples. And it's been on my heart. I'm saying, how can we do this? How can we do this better than we're doing it? Because the stakes are high. Jesus is going, this is my business, and how are you doing in my business? I've just been growing in my conviction. We got to get back to the basics. This is a football. We're going to make disciples. My prayer has been more and more, Lord, help us to do what you're blessing. Help us to do what you want to bless instead of praying, Lord, bless what we're doing. Because what we're doing, and I'm talking about the church in general in America and Middle West, by and large, isn't working. Right? I mean, can we just say, hey, let's call it the spade a spade, the elephant's on the table. Where are we seeing these people come into faith in Christ and grow in their faith to where they reproduce their faith in other people? Jesus died for it. He sent the Spirit to enable us to do it. It's the Father's will. Why can't it happen? I'm telling you, it can. It must. My prayer has been this, basically. Some of you know this because we've talked about it in our staff. We talk about it with our elders, and they're praying, and we're struggling with this. Like, how can we do a better job of the business God's left in our hands to do? Praying for more effectiveness in making disciples who reproduce. More effectiveness in helping people grow spiritually. I've been praying the prayer Jesus told us to pray in Matthew 9. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, people without hope. Pat talked about that. Some people just went through the holiday of Thanksgiving with no hope. Then he turned to his disciples. The harvest is plentiful. No problem with the harvest, guys. It's coming out of our ears. But he said this, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So, been praying a lot. God, how do we do this? How? God, show us. And I'll tell you, about our church, there's only three basic things you need to know about our church. We believe the Bible, number one. When people are turning away from the Bible, walking away from the Bible, culture is going down the toilet, the only hope is the Word of God, Jesus, the living Word, and what he tells us in the Word, right? The Bible. And our movement of churches of which we're a part believes that. It started back in the early 1800s. Just not the only Christians, but Christians only that believe the Bible. And their belief, and I believe it too, is if we can come together on the core of the Bible, what the Bible teaches, it will produce tremendous unity in his church, right? Because Jesus prayed for unity in John 17, right before he goes to the cross, in the shadow of the cross. Jesus prays these words, my prayer, Father, is not for them alone, these disciples right around me. No, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who's that, folks? Us. Look around. Point to someone and say, that's you. Go ahead, do that. This is the group participation time. That's you. That's you, me. That's us. He's praying for us. This is Jesus' prayer for us. Wow. You know, Jesus prayed right here. It's so important. It's recorded in the Bible. He prayed all the time, but here's a recorded prayer for us. What did he pray? What did Jesus pray for us? That all of them may be divided and splintered. No. I know you, come on. When I misread Bible on purpose, you're supposed to do what? No way. Okay, groan, collective groan. Go ahead. No. Do you know the answer? I pray that they may all be one. Just as you in me and I am in you. How close and one were the Father and the Son? Undividable, right? May they also be in us, the world. Here's the reason. So that. When you read a so that in the Bible, you need to star it, underline it, asterisk it. So that, here's the reason I want the church to be united, that the world may believe that I'm the real stuff, that I'm real deal, that I'm really who I say I am, that you sent me. Class, what does that imply if the church is not one? What will the world do as far as believe? It's all right here, right? And then he goes on to say, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you, when you bring them to complete unity. See, folks, I don't know if you see this. Every Sunday, how many of you notice that we pray for every Christ-honoring, Bible-teaching, Jesus-loving church every Sunday here at this church? How many of you have noticed that? Every Sunday. Why? Because of John 17. That's why we open our facility to other churches like Calvary Oxnard for their young adults meeting. You know that another church was using our facility for 6 months, just a few months ago, and they finally went somewhere else. Because other pastors, they look around and go, hey, can we use your church? It's not our church, it's God's church. Yeah, sure. We're on the same team. That's why we take part in and support the Serve Days that unite the Church of Jesus on this coastal plain. That's why I gather with other pastors in this area to pray for the health of the one Church of Jesus. That's why we believe we're better together. It's Jesus' prayer. And I'm telling you, I'm excited. I'm so excited. Now you go, you're crying up there. You look like you're sad. I'm not sad. I'm excited because God's been working upstream. God's been working upstream. He's answering our prayers for unity in this area, for churches coming together, and for workers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into our harvest field because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are what? So I've been praying for unity among the Church of Jesus, and I've been praying for more workers because I'm telling you, there's so much to be done. That's why we can only do so much, and we get kind of caught up in doing what we usually do, and we get off sight of what we need to be really focused on and forging into. So we're bringing in two new staff that are going to help us realize the vision of Jesus for his church. In fact, you've actually met them if you've been here consistently over the last couple months. But let's have Louis DeLuca and Tim Cantor come on up here and join me up on the platform. Would you give them a warm Gold Coast welcome? There you go, guys. Well, here we are. This is the next stage in our conversation. So I got to tell you that the three of us have met now for hours and hours and hours over the last 4 months or so. When was it? When was the last men's breakfast, George? Was that back in July or something? Yeah, I think it was July. I'm going to let these guys talk, so you be thankful. And just a minute. But what's really cool is we have spent hours and hours talking and praying. And there's been meetings with our staff and meetings with our board, our elders. And just over and over, over and over and over again, it's as if God keeps opening the door. And I don't know about you, my journey with Jesus has always been, when I'm consistent, I just walk through the next door, walk through the next door, walk through the next door. I believe that's what we've been doing. It's been really exciting, just walking through the next door. And we feel like the Holy Spirit, every step along the way, the Holy Spirit's been guiding and moving us together for a shared time of working together in the Lord and for his church. And I'm telling you, like, the Bible, theologically, unity, and evangelism that the world may know, we're all sold out to that, and it's exciting. And who am I going to start with? Louis? Okay, Tim? Okay, we'll start with Tim. Tell us, brother. Tell us about yourself or whatever God's got on your heart.
Back in the early 1800s. Let's fast forward a little bit. I know Scott told me I only have this much time. I've been working in ministry since I became a Christian when I was about 18, 19 years old. And I come from a very mixed family, and God wasn't the forefront there. So I became a Christian, and I just started on this path. It wasn't until my early 20s when I actually started attending church, even though I became a Christian when I was 19. And I just started on this path of just getting to know God and learning more about him. And I started getting involved in a lot of different ministry things. I have a theater background, so I would do some skits and some acting and things like that. I would help out at men's breakfast. I mean, I would just kind of just go in wherever I could be, wherever I could be used, and just continuing to learn and continuing to grow. And as I continued on just doing ministry, I felt this nagging that God wanted me to do this more as not a career, although that's a part of it, but just more, it's my life, not just something that I do.
Vocation.
Right. Vocation. So I figured I had to get educated because I want to be able to, the Bible says that always be prepared to give a defense for what you believe. So I wanted to be prepared in any circumstance to give a defense for what I believe. And I also wanted to truly understand what I believe. So I started going to school and ended up graduating from Eternity Bible College and became a pastor. And just one thing led to another with the ministry things that I'd been doing, and the nagging thing that God had been putting on my heart was, I am to help Christians reach other people and reach the lost, and I'm supposed to be a part of that. I'm supposed to reach the lost, and that was the thing that was constantly impressed upon me until one day, I was at this point at the church that I was at. I was not on staff there, and I felt like God was telling me that something needed to change. And then a former member of the staff over where Louis and I have been working invited me to come to a meeting and just to meet Louis. So
to which he was already going to say no to,
right,
by the way.
Because He's like, hey, we're doing this new thing. You should come and check this out. Do you want to come meet it? And my response in my head was, no, that just doesn't sound like anything I'm interested in because of how he kind of set it up. But I was at that point in my life when I was like, God, if you open a door, I'm going to walk through it, and I'm going to let you shut the door, not me. So I walked through this door. I sat down with Lewis and Patrick at the time, and we just started talking, and it was like, you know, one of those mind-blown experiences that you have where you're just sitting there having a conversation, and boom, mind blown. This is exactly what God has been telling me about. So that's how Lewis and I started, and Lewis will go into a little more detail about that. But then fast forward, Lewis and I have been working together and making disciples, and then I'm bivocational, which means I'm a part-time pastor and I'm a full-time, I own an insurance agency. So that brings George Garcia into the picture. And this is just a perfect example about, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you're doing, you never know when God's going to be working through you. And George and I were just talking, and I shared my faith a little bit, and George is like, oh, hey, I coordinate the men's breakfast. You should come and speak sometime. And then back in July, he called me up, and he said, hey, do you want to come and talk at the men's breakfast? So I said yes, and next thing you know, I was there. Scott and I started talking, and then Scott asked me to go sit down and have coffee, and here's where we're at.
Yes, and so what's funny is at this men's breakfast, Tim and Lewis was there too, and they were talking about, hey, our church is doing a How to Make a Disciple, is that the name of it? How to Make Disciples seminar. Teresa, you went, and Donna Beeson, and Calvin. The four of us from Gold Coast, I don't know if you remember this, but we were like pushing it real big. Come make disciples. We had four people show up. But hey, it's just what God was directing. So we showed up, and I'd just come a month or so before. I'd gone to Coeur d'Alene where they're doing real-life discipleship kind of stuff and about how these churches are becoming churches that help their people, keep hearing it, make disciples who make disciples. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So he's going, hey, we're a church that helps people make disciples. So we all went, and again, Friday night and Saturday, I'm going, this is exactly what we're talking about doing, you know. So I started talking with these guys to say, yeah, how can we, maybe you guys can come over and do some training, you know. Maybe you can come on and bring that seminar to our church so help us make better disciples. That's kind of then where we're handing it off to you. So does that make sense?
Sure does. So kind of my history, just real briefly, I grew up in a Christian family and home, and I felt a distinct calling into ministry when I was 18, had a chance to teach at a youth group, and just after that time was done, I just heard very clearly, this is what you're supposed to do. But I talked to some mentors, and they said, you know, ministry is really hard. You shouldn't do it unless you are absolutely sure. If you can do anything else and be happy other than ministry, do that. And I said, it sounds like a lot of wisdom, so I'll go do that. So I ran a professional painting company, but I kept coming back and doing ministry on the side. And I found it so much more satisfying than being in business. And so I just was like, you know, I did this for 6 years, and I kept coming back to ministry. That's where I want to be. So I went through Biola, and then I went through Talbot, and the intent was to plant a church. And the associate pastor of the church where I was at in San Diego said, hey, my wife and I, Wilma and I, we're going to plant a church. Would you and Faith is my wife, would you like to join us? And so we started planting a church in Carlsbad together while I finished up seminary. And my whole idea in church planting was, I want to see people who don't know Jesus come to know him. That was like the thing that gets me up in the morning. And so we did that, and our church grew like crazy, but it wasn't because we were making new disciples. It was because we were part of the Acts 29 network, and we had had a friend who wrote a website called sandiegochurches.org where he reviewed churches. And he gave us a 5-star rating because our theology was compatible with his, which is just classic, you know, orthodox theology. And we're like a church of 30 people. He gives us a 5-star rating. His website's the number one splash page for people looking for a church in San Diego. So every week we had people show up at our brand new church plant who joined us. And that's awesome. I mean, it's really fun to be part of a church that's growing like that. But at the same time, inside of me, I was like, this isn't also what I wanted, though. I wanted to see new conversions. And so God stirred us up to come and plant a church in Oxnard. And so we did that 12 years ago, and we started meeting people and making disciples, and we grew out of our living room and moved into a school. And when we did that, we really felt like, as we look back in time, there's something called kind of reversion, where we had met people and led people to faith. But as soon as we moved into the school, like a shift happened in our church where it was like, okay, well, now we're really a church because we're not in a house anymore. And, you know, my service will be sound ministry or setting stuff up or printing things. All of those things are important things. We kind of started to drift away from making new conversions, making new believers. And so we decided as a church, you know what, we're going to get back to where we started and go back to homes. And so moved back into our house, and then we just had the idea, well, let's plant other churches in homes. And so we did that, and we planted one in Camarillo, and out of that we birthed one in Newbury Park, and we had a sister church that joined us in Simi, and we've even had a church eventually that we started in Thousand Oaks. And so I'd say as little as, what, 4 or 5 months ago between these various groups, we were probably over 50 people. And then I had a team meeting. We did a retreat in May and had myself and 4 of our leaders, and everybody's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the direction we're headed. This is what we're going to plan for the next year, kind of created lists of things and how to attack the problem of making disciples. And within a month, 2 of my key leaders and their wives had moved out of the area completely, and they didn't know they were moving. And God kind of has a funny way of doing that. And then our group that got birthed in Thousand Oaks, they just said, you know what, we've been at this for a year, and we're just going to disband. And we're looking around and going, boy, we're hardly any people left here in this one single group. And what's going on? And our lease is ending in October. And Tim and I had side conversations at the same time because I had developed this training on how to teach people to make disciples. And Tim's like, you know, I really feel like God's saying, like, there's going to be a new venue for us to introduce this training, and maybe we need to kind of, you know, let the church model go. And so we started praying about that and talking about that at the same time then that he met with George, and he's getting, you know, stirred up by the Holy Spirit about workers and making disciples. God's working in each of us in different ways, kind of across the board here, that we didn't see coming.
Yeah. So every time we had a conversation, we left those conversations going, what aren't we seeing here? What aren't we seeing here? Because it sounded like, I mean, the vision was like becoming clear, going, this could really be an awesome partnering and developing of our church. And they're like going, well, we're open. And it's like, wake up, McFly, you know? So it's like we spent a lot of time talking and making sure, because if God's not in this, this is crazy. But we believe God is. And when they said, you know, we could be staff and you wouldn't even have to pay us, that really got my attention. Just being honest with you. Because, you know, part of the prayer, God sent forth.
I know how to speak pastor language very well.
Yeah.
It's part free.
Part of the prayer, of course, I wasn't telling you that, but it's like, okay, we need workers. I mean, if we had 2 or 3 more people sharing the load and helping do what Ephesians 4 says pastors are to do, to equip the people for works of service, to build up the body of Christ so the body can be healthier and striving and reaching people. But how are we going to do that? It's expensive to live here, right? We all know that. So how are we going to do that? And they go, we're self-supporting. We got our group. We got supporters from being a church plant. And we just be coming and joining what you're doing, what God's doing, and help you whatever way God is leading us to be used to help us become stronger and better and making more and better disciples. Did I leave anything out? Yeah, isn't that good? It's like, and the other thing is, they're not that bad.
Not that bad.
They're not that bad to get along with. They're kind of fun, actually, because that's part of a church has to have a chemistry among the people in it, and it's just every step along the way, God has like been confirming. It's exciting. I love these guys. I love you. I love you. And they're teaching me how to hug and all that. It's really
awkward.
It's fantastic. It's kind of awkward, but
it's awkward that he didn't know how.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're getting a little off, but that's really, that's kind of, and now we're having a lunch. We're going to be leading into a lunch where you guys can get to know them. I think they want to give you their contact info. Why don't you share about how you guys, what you guys want to do?
So before I even do that, you know, in these kind of joinings together, I've done a lot of premarital counseling. I've done a lot of other kind of counseling. I'm always looking for red flags, right? Like, what are the red flags? And I think one of the things that we're so excited about that is I know that Scott's done the same thing, and we can't find any. We're just like, this seems to be Holy Spirit-led and God-ordained, bringing together two churches like this where we get to join what you guys are doing. And, you know, my passion, my heartbeat is seeing people come to know the Lord and seeing disciples grow into maturity. And like one of the very first things Scott says, like, well, I want to see disciples make disciples. I'm like, this is awesome, right? It's so cool. So that's just like a heartbeat of mine. And we just, we're excited about what God is doing. We're really excited to be joining you guys. And I'm a pastor, right?
Like, I'm excited about it.
So I'm a pastor, and I love people, and I want to get to know you. So make sure, come up, introduce yourself, give me your contact info. We'll go out for have coffee, go for lunch, have you over to our house. I love to smoke and barbecue large amounts of meat. So I will be happy to ply you with beef or homemade bacon or whatever it takes to get to know you. That's my heartbeat, and so I want to just meet people and make friends and get integrated here with this awesome group of people.
I can do hot dogs, so
we're going to be schooling him a little bit at the barbecue.
He needs help. So one thing I kind of wanted to tag on to what Lewis was just saying, and when I came here to speak at the men's breakfast, the right off the bat, and I've been to a lot of different churches. As I've traveled, I like to go to different churches sometimes. You could always kind of tell right away if you would never want to step foot in that church again. You know, it's like the first 30 seconds, you're like, if I lived in this area, I would not go here. But when I came for the men's breakfast, it was immediately like I was just in a room of friends. And that was like a good, and I wasn't thinking we're going to be a part of Gold Coast. I was thinking, cool, I like it here. These are nice people. And then as I was preaching, teaching at the men's breakfast, then Scott's there. And I didn't know Scott. I've never met him. And he's sitting in the back, but I knew he was the pastor. Because there are certain things where as I was talking, as I was sharing what God had put on my heart, I see him nodding and like, you know, he's practically going like, amen, preach it, brother. He was practically like that. And we talked briefly after the breakfast, and I'm like, I thought you were the pastor. You know, the haircut. And so then when he called me up and asked me to go and have coffee with him, so I'm like, this is interesting, God. Because that kind of thing, when it happens, you know that God's probably doing something. So I'm like, yeah, let's sit down and have coffee. And then the first conversation him and I had, he was asking me to preach while he was going to go on vacation. But our conversation got a lot more deep than that, because we really started talking about what the church that Lewis and I have been a part of and what Gold Coast has been doing. And we just saw a lot of similarities. And then we just started talking more. And every time we had a theological conversation with him, it was like, it wasn't like, well, we're kind of here and you're kind of here. It was like, no, we're right here. You know, we all believe what the Bible teaches. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
There's no question about that. And
amen.
That is huge, because I know people, as all of you probably do, who are involved in churches that don't feel that same way. They'll modify the Bible. They'll remove certain parts of the Bible that they just don't feel comfortable preaching about. And I'm sure you've heard this, because I know Scott well enough, but you're going to be hearing me preach or Lewis preach or Scott preach about stuff that you probably don't want to hear, or that you know people that don't want to hear, but it's what God tells us. And we're completely on the same page in that. And that is what, like, right off the bat gets me super excited, because we're already a team, and now we go into this bigger team, and we're on the exact same page. And so as we move forward, and just like Lewis was saying, I don't smoke meat. I do barbecue a mean burger. I've barbecued tri-tips. So, you know, yeah, I could. If that's your love language, fine. I'll help you out there. But I like to joke around, as you may have guessed. I like going to movies. But, you know, I also like to sit down and have coffee. So if you want to meet me, I'm totally down for that. If you want to come over to my house and hang out with my family, which we're going to bring our families up here in a little bit. If you cook really well and you want to invite me over, I'm okay with that, too. I'll sacrifice. Both Lewis and I, we want to meet you guys. We want to get to know you, and we've been talking to Scott. We talk about disciple making. It's not just disciple making. It's working among you all. We're not Scott's team. We're not a part of Scott's team. We're a part of the Gold Coast team now, and which is a small part of God's team, right? So we're all on the same team together here.
Yeah. When we would meet, I remember that first time we talked, it's like, we're talking about discipleship and making disciples and the purpose of the church. And Tim's kind of looking at me, and I'm going, like, he's like asking questions. I'm going, yeah, like, no duh. I mean, a real basic stuff that's like in my DNA. And he's going, like, man, a lot of times I talk to people like what we're talking about, and they're like, no, they want to kind of move and say, no, as long as you got numbers coming and the church. I'm going, our church has always been about how can we be the healthiest expression of the body of Christ. I don't care how big our church gets. I want us to be reaching people for Christ, building them up, helping them learn how to help other people know Jesus. That's the purpose of the church. And if God brings more people, we got to be ready for that. But our goal is not to just have people come and hang out and kind of feel good about God. We want to make disciples. That's Jesus going to say, either well done, you good and faithful servant, you've invested what I've given you for my cause, or he's going to say, you wicked, lazy servant. I don't want to be that guy. I don't think you guys want to be that guy, right? We want to be the first two guys. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's invite your... You got something else? We could talk all day.
But I don't remember.
Okay, so why don't you guys introduce your families and bring them up?
All right, so I've got a lovely wife, Faith, and my two daughters, Gianna and Alessa. Girls, why don't you come on up here? Faith and I have been married for 17 years.
And my wife, Angela, her and I have been married for almost 20 years. Next July will be our 20th anniversary. And my daughters, Megan and Emma. Emma was attempting a yoga pose that my sister taught her. As you can see, it didn't go well.
And now I'm going to ask the staff, our present staff, to come up. Daryl and their spouses, if they're here. Daryl and Shar, is Shar here? Come on up. Pat, Sharon, Christian, Tana. This is really cool. This is exciting. And so then we're going to have the rest of the board, if they're here, who's here? Mark Schottmeyer, Gary Myers, Tim, come on up. Russ Sparks, a part of our board, but he's in Hawaii. That's where he's from, you know, he's visiting family, but he's gone. So where's the microphone? There you go. You guys can share a mic.
Thanks.
Okay. So, guys, and why don't you guys stand with us? And we're going to have a couple of these elders pray over us as a staff team, a pastoral staff team, and then we're going to eat sandwiches. Right? Is it sandwiches? And I'm told, by the way, we're going to offer a word of thanks for the sandwiches, too. But when we leave, just to make sure everyone has enough, we have enough, make sure on your first time through, just take one section. Are they sections? Whatever. Just don't take too much, and then come back for seconds. Cool? Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
All right, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit's influence over this whole event that's going on today, Lord. We are all, as a church family, super excited to see how you're going to move in our congregation, how you're going to bring more people to a knowing yes. relationship of who you are. Lord, it's amazing when you stand back and see the kind of actions that you take and how deep and perfect your actions are, Lord, and to see that your hand is moving in such a wide, encompassing way to touch all these lives in this room, Lord, yes. and our minds are blown by how many lives you're going to change through this change in our staff and in the way we run our church, Lord. We're super excited to welcome these families into our church, into your church. Lord, we recognize everything we do here. We do to bring believers into your community, into your inner relationship with yes, you, Lord. Into salvation that's only achieved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for families that have joined us. We thank you for the food that we're going to have today, Lord, that you've provided for us. And we stand by in awe as we watch you move, as we acknowledge that you are King and you are Savior and you are in charge, Lord.
God, we are so grateful for the ways in which you have gone ahead of us, in that you have been working way upstream, as it was said. God, we are grateful to you for providing us with the ability for us to look and see how you have worked and how you have brought this together. And God, the way that you weave these pieces of our lives together, God, is just amazing. So we are grateful to you for that. And God, we are grateful to you for the existing staff and leaders that we have. Sure. And for the work that they have been doing for you and for their hearts that they have for you and their willingness to serve. And we are very grateful for what you've provided for us. And God, we are also very excited to welcome the new leaders for Tim and Lewis and their families to be able to come and be a part of this. And we are grateful to you for the unity that you've given to the leadership team, that they're all on the same page and that we all love you, God. So we're very grateful. Thank you.
Father, thank you that you are a God of surprises.
Yes.
And how you take delight in blowing our minds sometimes with things that we could never have conceived.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray your blessing on this extended church family, this staff family that we have added to today and acknowledged today, realizing that nothing can be successful unless you are in it and a part of it. So we pray, Father, that although we've made our plans, that you would direct our steps, that there would be a sense of you moving in us, through our activity, through the coordinated efforts that we make for the purpose of making disciples,
yes,
for discipling the nations, and perhaps more immediately, discipling the neighbors,
yes, Lord.
Those that are near and dear to us who live in our community. So, Father, we pray again for your blessing on these individuals, their families, their extended family, the family that we will become together, for the presence of your Spirit working in and through us to the glory of God and for the purpose of Christ, in whose name we pray together. Amen.
Amen.